G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Good glorious morning, brothers and sisters. How are you guys? How are you guys this morning?
Good.
Everyone's good? We say in Canada, I don't know if you say it here, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Yeah? All right. You got it? That's good. That's good. Thank you again, guys, for having me and having us. We've been so blessed by this weekend, again, by your family and just all of you guys here. It's been such a blessing to be a part of it. So we're going to dive in this morning. Amen. Who wants some more good word to chew on? Hallelujah. I do. I know preparing this message, I mean, you can ask Rob. I've just been so excited at everything God was showing me. And last night, God just showed me deeper some things through what Rob shared. And we're driving back, you know, after I'm like, oh, and then there's this and that. Like, I just love the word of God. It's so good. I love being his kid. Amen. Just letting him love me and show me more of him and show me more of who I am in his word. Amen. Haven't we just heard some awesome word this weekend? Man, it's been so good. Okay, I'm going to do better today, and I'm going to actually time myself so that I'm just going to do better with that. Amen. Okay, here we go. Get set up. Hallelujah. Praise God for these little technological devices. Amen. All right, so recap. Yesterday we talked about we have the same faith as. Yeah, we have the same faith in us, indwelling us as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. That's awesome. We just have to believe it, know it, amen, and walk in it. Then we also talked about hope, right? Hope is not faith. Everyone got that? Hope is not faith, but hope is what motivates your faith. It's having that right motivation, that imagination, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's that right imagination based on the word of God, the desires he's putting in your heart that produces the substance of faith. Amen? And then we talked about patience. We recognize that there is a time, yeah, in between what we say and what we see. There's a time in between what we say and what we see, and that we run the race with patience, and that patience doesn't perfect us, right? It's the word that perfects us, yeah? But it's patience. God uses our patience. God develops that patience in us during that time, right? And that patience, by faith and patience, we inherit the promises, excuse me. So in that time, it's not the patience that perfects us. It's the patience that we get. Our patience gets a workout. Amen? It's our patience that gets a workout, bringing that substance into existence. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay, so today I want to share with you guys a little bit more from God's word. Actually, a lot more. I'm going to have you flipping, keep you awake this morning, have you flipping through the Bible. Amen? And I know you guys are good for it. I was saying to a couple others yesterday, you know, I usually just will focus on a couple key scriptures and then go from there. But I'm like, man, these guys know the word. And these guys know who they are in Jesus. They have an awesome pastor teaching a great balanced word of grace and faith. And so we can flip through some word. Amen? Awesome. Okay, so today I'm going to share with you guys just more about who you are, what you have available to you, and either remind you of the truth you already know or hopefully bring to light some new revelation, amen? Because it's the truth we know that sets us free. So we're going to talk about how we can get our faith to produce results. Sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of you want to see more results?
Yeah.
Yay. Me too. I think we all do, yeah? How many of you guys are frustrated or know people that are frustrated because, you know, you might feel like you're doing everything you know how to do. You're doing everything you know how to do, but you aren't seeing the results of your faith. Or you see people that they look like, you know, they're men and women of faith, they're standing on the word, they're speaking the word, they're doing everything they know how to do, and they're not seeing the results of their faith. Right? You may be feeling like, or know people that are feeling like, man, this Christian life, I can't do it, it doesn't work. Like, this isn't working. You know, you're absolutely right. You guys can't do it. We can't do it. We talked a bit about that yesterday. We can't do it in our own strength, right? We need Jesus' help. We need Jesus. We need his help. We need his grace to do this. But praise God, he's provided everything we need. And we can rest in that and take joy in that. Amen? And then just walk it out one day at a time, not focusing on what we don't know, but focusing on what we do know and letting our Father love us and just show us more and more and more. Because boundless are the depths of God's love for us. Boundless, guys. This morning, Lindy was sharing about how much God loved us, and that's why he gave his son for us, and the blood and the water. That was so good. I love that. I never realized the hyssop branch was full of water, and I love it. But God really reminded me during worship, and then through her sharing her communion message this morning from Jeremiah 31:3, I believe it is, where the Lord says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Just going to make sure that that's right. Yeah. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. You guys are all here because Jesus is drawing you to be here. He loves you so much with an everlasting love. Amen. So good. Just receive that this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so let's crack this open, see what God has for us today. Amen? This has set me free, guys. It really has. And God, like I said, he's just given me so much excitement as I've dove into it again. So we're going to spend some time, quite a bit of time in James this morning. All right? Woohoo! Love the book of James. Amen. All right, so let's go to James chapter 2. We're going to start there in verse 17. Amen. We're going to look at verse 17 and verse 26. James 2, 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith without works is dead. And verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead. Like the body without the spirit is dead. We all know this. We are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit leaves your body's a corpse. Yeah? We all got that? We're clear on that? Yes. So faith without works, what's works? Corresponding action. Faith without works, corresponding action, is as lifeless as a corpse. Okay? You guys are receiving a lot of good word here, but we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Faith without corresponding action is a corpse. We all want our faith to be fruitful and full of life, right? Right? That's it. We were talking with Les this morning, and he was saying how blessed he is to see his church because he sees you guys producing fruit with your lives. It's not just coming here and singing a few songs and sitting back in your seats and relaxing, but he's seeing the fruit in your lives. Praise Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. That's it. And that's it. You know, he's discipling you guys, and we're discipling one another, and that's what Jesus told us to do, is go out and make disciples of all nations, right? Not converts, disciples. It's not about the tingles and the goosebumps and all the good feelings. It's about making disciples. It's about producing that fruit. Faith that produces fruit, life, and results requires corresponding action, okay? Requires works. So, hang on a minute. You guys might be asking yourself, wait. We're saved by grace through faith, right? And not of works. Remember we looked at that yesterday, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By grace you are saved through faith and not of your own works, but it's a free gift of God. Yeah? For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, you know, there's a lot of preaching and teaching in our grace movements today that, you know, oh, no works, no problem. It's not by our works. It's, you know, we don't have to, and that's been taken to an extreme. I think we could all bear witness to that, right? Where people are taking that to just live a life however they want to live it, in all kinds of ungodliness, and going, oh, no worries, God's grace covers me, right? But that is not, that's perverting the grace of God. And the Word talks about that, but that is a whole other study. Okay? So, you can ask Jesus about that one. but we know, guys, that it's not our performance, okay? Right? Or earning God's favor, and that we already have all the grace. Grace is God's supply for every human need. We have all of God's grace. We have the unmerited and unearned favor of God, and it's not by our performance. So what are these works then? What is this corresponding action that we need to apply to our faith to get results? What's the works? Let's go back to James, if you guys flipped to Ephesians. So in reading here in James, I find it really interesting that James talks about faith without works is dead, right? If you look at the end of James chapter 2, verse 26, that he talks about, again, solidifying faith without works is dead. But then he goes straight into chapter 3. Remember, you know, when the Word was written, there was no chapters and verses. So when you go straight into chapter 3, it's all about the importance of what comes out of our mouths. Yeah? The primary and most important works, guys, or corresponding action to our faith, is only to speak God's word. It's only to speak God's word. Faith is agreeing with God's word above all else. We have had so much awesome teaching this weekend about the value and the importance of God's word and relationship with the Lord. Amen? It's all about agreeing with God's word. That's it. That's the corresponding action. That's the work. Speaking God's word. Not by performance or a list of things we need to do. That's the works. Faith without works, faith without agreeing only with God's word, is dead. Faith without agreeing only with God's word is dead. Okay, so remember from my first session what Galatians 2 and 20 says and 2 Corinthians 4 and 13 said, right? That we have that same spirit as our same faith as Jesus, right? The same spirit of faith as Christ. We have the exact same faith as the Lord Jesus in us. Amen? Now, the second part of that verse, 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, says, I believed and therefore have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Here again, we see that connection. We see that connection between faith and the importance of what comes out of our mouths, right? Oh, where's my timer? Oh, no. Okay. So let me explain this a little bit more. You know, let's dive into how the primary corresponding action of faith is to only speak God's word. Let's look at that. So we heard it a lot yesterday. How does faith come according to Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. I don't know about you guys, but like every opportunity I am given here or at Caris or wherever I am speaking about the Lord Jesus and his word, faith comes by hearing a lot of times out of my own mouth, right? I hear the words coming out of my mouth. I'm like, that's good. God, I gotta remember that. That's good, Jesus. Right? Because it's that Holy Spirit. It's that faith of God inside us coming out. Yeah? So it's awesome. And we hear it from one another, and we hear it from our own mouths. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in James again, chapter 1 now, verse 22 to 26. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Think of looking yourself in a mirror, right? Think of looking at yourself in a mirror. You might, just picture that. Did you guys know that you've actually never seen your own face? You've never literally seen your own face with your own eyeballs, right? You've only ever seen a reflection of yourself. You know, we've looked at that reflection so many times that we trust that reflection, right? You trust what you're seeing. You've studied it so often and for so long, you can remember. You know, if someone comes up to you and compliments you on your beautiful brown eyes and you know you have blue eyes, you don't need to grab a mirror and go, oh yeah, right, let me check that I have blue eyes. No, because you've studied that reflection for so long and so many years that you know that you know that you know that you've got blue eyes. So if someone tells you you have beautiful brown eyes, you can instantly correct them without a doubt, knowing that you have blue eyes, right? Right. So we've discovered so far that we need works or corresponding action to have result-producing faith. We've discovered so far that those works are speaking only the word of God. James 1:25, again, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man or woman shall be blessed in his deed. If we jump over to James 2:17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. What is the works? Again, what is the works? Speaking only God's word, and you shall be blessed in your deed. Amen? Hallelujah! So, we see that. Speaking only God's word, the importance of it, we shall be blessed. Now look at James 1:26. So if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue but deceives his own heart, that man's religion is vain. It shows us what the work of our corresponding action is. It's bridling your tongue. It's bridling your tongue. I think I heard David and Lindy say that yesterday when they were praying for healing, or praising God for healing, agreeing for healing. You know, we're going to bridle our tongue to what God's word says about this situation. Amen. Amen. There is so much power in what we speak, guys. Amen. Bridling your tongue, that's a fancy way of saying be mindful what you speak. Be mindful what you speak. So faith needs works to produce results, and the work is speaking God's word. I really want you to get this morning. Get it into your heart. Get it into your heart. James 2:26, we're going to jump back there. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Dead as a corpse. Faith without speaking God's word only is dead as a corpse. And then James chapter 3 talks instantly about the importance of what comes out of our mouths. So James 3, if we look at that, because we've gone, okay, so it's important what comes out of our mouth. What should be coming out of our mouth? you know, if that's important, we need to know what should be coming out of our mouth, right?
Yeah.
We need to know how to guard our mouths, right?
Yeah.
So, God describes the power of our words there in James 3:3-7. I don't know if I want to take up the time to read that. Okay, James 3:3-7, it describes the power of our tongue, the power of our words, how it's, you know, can be set on fire of hell, how it's so powerful, how it's like the rudder that drives the tiny rudder that drives a whole huge ship, you know. If you read through that, it likens it to something so small with so much power, okay? If we look also in Proverbs 18:20-21, this is a familiar scripture to a lot of us, Proverbs 18:20-21, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So then if it's as simple as speaking God's word, if it's that simple as speaking God's word over our circumstances, why are so many believers that are already doing this not seeing the results? We might be those people. We know those people. You know, we've seen people, great men and women of God, die or have horrible things, tragedies happen in their life. We know that's not God, and we know it's not a problem on his end, right? And we go, why, God? I mean, we got to give our right up to understand sometimes. Only God knows the thoughts and intents of a man's heart. But, you know, maybe we can gain a little more clarity on how we can see better results from our faith. Amen? So now let's go to Matthew 11:23-24. Matthew 11:23-24. Oh, sorry, Mark. Sorry. Mark 11:23-24. That's the one I want. Hallelujah. Starting in 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Amen. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto his mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, or says, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, hope for, when you pray, have relationship with God, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Amen. Amen. Robert has blessed me in our marriage because he has, like he was saying last night, his first Bible school is reading all kinds of books from ministries of old, studying, you know, Smith Wigglesworth and Charles Capps and F.F. Bosworth and John Lake. And so he's, you know, shared these stories with me, and it's so awesome to just see how God has moved through the ages, amen, and what we can learn. And how we can learn from that. And in one book by Charles Capps, he once described an encounter with Christ that he had where Jesus told him, my children are focused on saying what they have. Instead, I told them they can have what they say. My children are focused on saying what they have when I told them they can have what they say. That is powerful. That's what Mark 11:23-24 is saying. You can have what you say. Stop focusing. Stop saying what you have. Stop magnifying the problem. Speak only God's word. Speak only God's word. When we really, really believe something in our hearts, it will come out of our mouths and we'll be fully persuaded by what we believe. We've heard a little bit about that, fully persuaded, right? You heard Robert last night share about that illustration of, for those of you that were here, about the little taking his daughter out to buy a dress. right? You're like fully persuaded, that anticipation. She's believing, yeah, we're going to go out. And she starts talking about it and telling all her friends and imagining it and like twirling in the living room because she's already seeing herself in the dress, you know, and how she's going to move in it and how she's going to prance in it and all the rest of it. I can see it right now. Amen. No, oh, she's got two older brothers and she's tough, but man, she likes a girly dress. Okay, so if we aren't fully persuaded, do we really believe it? We need to be fully persuaded. Proverbs 4:23 says, "To keep guard of our hearts with diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life." Out of your heart flows the issues of life. And Romans 4:21 tells us that we need to be fully persuaded that God will perform that which he has promised us. That which he has promised us. Are you fully persuaded that God will perform that which he has promised you? Guys, being fully persuaded is the description of faith. Being fully persuaded is the description of faith. If people can be fully persuaded, then they can be partially persuaded, right? If people can be, like, if the word's telling us be fully persuaded, that means that people could be partially persuaded, right? I want to share with you just this blog excerpt from one of my favorite teachers at Caris Bible College, Barry Bennett. And he's got a blog, and here he... I'm going to share with you something about being fully persuaded, actually being partially persuaded. Okay, it would seem that one who is partially persuaded acknowledges the truth and has a good understanding of truth, but is not committed to living according to truth. The partially persuaded live in two worlds, the world of self-effort, fear, and doubt, and the world of faith. Rather than growing in faith, they tend to see faith as an emergency frequency that may or may not get the desired results. So just to be safe, the partially persuaded trust in themselves as much as possible. Wow. Yeah, that's like an extra, that's like a side order for you to chew on. That's an extra. Oh, that's powerful. The partially persuaded trust in themselves as much as possible. So when we really believe God's word above all else, when we're fully persuaded, what does that mean then? You're fully trusting in God. You're going, I am not smart enough to run my own life. God, I can't do this. If you don't come through, I'm just going to die. You got me. You got me. I totally trust you with everything. Totally. With everything. Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Last night, Robert talked about the seed and the soil. That's our heart, planting that seed in your heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Guys, these are spiritual laws. And the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. We see this in people if they're saved or not saved. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. There's so much like not Christian-based spiritualism, you know, where they have got a hold of God's principles. They don't know it's God. They call it the universe. But it works. Because it's God's word, it's his principles, and he can't go back on his word. How much more powerful is it when we know the source? Yeah. Hallelujah. How much more freedom do we have when we know we don't have to do it ourselves? Yeah? How much anxiety does the world around us have because it's all about self and what I got to do for myself? And, you know, it's so self-focused that, like, anxiety and depression are through the roof. It's crazy. But when we recognize the source, amen, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So examine what's in your heart today. Are you fully persuaded? When you're fully persuaded about something, you think it, you speak it. It's planted and growing in your heart. It's planted and growing, a process. Amen? It's a process. Don't beat yourself up. No condemnation in Christ. Comparing yourselves among yourselves is unwise. Don't beat yourself up if you're not at your expected goal, or you don't look like this person in their faith, or that person, you're not quite getting those results. Just one day at a time, relationship with God. Keep watering that seed with the Spirit, like Robert talked about last night. And enjoy the journey. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's go back now to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, starting in verse 8. How am I for time here this morning? All right. James chapter 3, verse 8. But the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We're made in God's image. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Here's our answer. Here's our answer. Remember, we're trying to answer that question. Why so many believers that are speaking God's word over their lives are not seeing the results. Here, James tells us that that the same fountain can't have salt water and fresh. This is it. You can't mix speaking the problem with God's promises. Because you pollute the water. You contaminate it. We need only to speak God's word. The problem pollutes the source. Speaking the problem counteracts the word of God. It's like, you know, a freshwater river entering the ocean. Right? That fresh water at the source of where it enters the ocean, when it mixes with the salt water, no matter how pure, crystal, clear, beautiful that fresh water is, when it mixes with that salt water, it's contaminated and you can no longer drink it. Nor can you separate the salt from it. Right? I'm not saying that we ignore the problem, guys, or that we pretend it's not happening. Okay? I'm not saying that. That we go around pretending that, you know, we're not going through stuff. We're all going through stuff. But speak only God's word. You know, one moldy apple in a box of fresh apples. Those fresh apples don't turn that moldy apple fresh. That moldy apple very quickly rots the rest of the fresh ones. We understand this principle. Decay, right? Because of the curse. There's so many believers today that are compromising the truth. Compromising the truth, trying to justify why they aren't receiving the results of God's promise. They spend just as much time, if not more time, magnifying every detail of their problem and then round it off with a nod to God at the end. Right? The doctor says, I've got this sign and symptom, and if I don't, you know, get this treatment, I'm going to die in 6 months. And you know, then I've got this sign and symptom, and I've got this and that and all the rest of it. You know, and they speak that out. They tell everybody around them about it, right? And when you ask how they are, They'll tell everybody around them every single symptom, every single sign, every single thing that the doctor has said, and then they go, but by his stripes I am healed. Come on! I mean, really, there's actually no biblical example of that, that you can just speak whatever kind of garbage you want and then round it off with, you know, but God says. You can say, this attack has come against me, but God says. I'm going through this, but I'm going through it, praise God, because God says. Right? You need to guard what you let come out of your mouth, not deny the issues or the problems, but speak only God's word. Don't speak all the signs and symptoms. Don't speak what the doctor says. Don't start twirling in the dress of death. Yeah? Come on. That's what you're doing. Speak life. Speak God's word only. Praise Jesus. Okay, so these people, or they are, as it says in James 1:26, deceiving their own hearts. And their religion, their very life, their faith is vain. Vain means producing no result. That they're deceiving their own heart and their faith is producing no result. Agreeing with and magnifying the problem is agreeing with and magnifying the devil. That is strong, but it is true. We can't agree with the devil and God at the same time and expect results. Our heart gets confused. Our heart doesn't know. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you're trying to agree with the devil and agree with God, our heart's like, well, I don't know, like, which, you know, this person's schizophrenic. I don't know what to do here. What should we be? And because the system of this world and of our flesh, naturally because of the curse, is decay, you know, the mold's going to spread. Right? Okay, so James 1:6-7, I want to go there. These first three chapters in James are just, man, there's so much here. Okay, James 1:6-7. Okay, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. There we go. There it is again. I'm convinced, guys. I am convinced by the word of God. I am fully persuaded that believers are not seeing the results of their faith simply because they're not believing God's word with their whole heart and agreeing with it and speaking it only. I want to share with you just a quick story of a friend of mine. And this was powerful, powerful. She had her baby daughter born 4 months premature. And strong woman in the Lord, brilliant teacher of the word, knows God's word, grew up in an awesome family. And daughter's born 4 months premature. She's a nurse, okay? So she's, of course, they've got the baby in, you know, hooked up to all the cables and bells and whistles and all the rest of it. And she is every person that calls friends, saved or not saved, asking her, you know, how's the baby doing? How's this? How's that? And she's going, well, today the levels are this and the blood is that and they've done this and oh, we're making improvements here and now they're starting to feed her this and that and we're seeing this or, oh, you know, not so good today and now the, and then she would, you know, speak but God's word and she'd declare scriptures over her and saw a little bit of improvement, but then started to see drastic decline to the point where the doctors said, okay, you know, we're going to lose her, you know? And she was going, God, why? Why, God? I believe you. I believe your word. I'm speaking your word over my daughter. I'm declaring. That's what your word says to do. And I believe it in my heart. Why am I not seeing the results? And then God took her to this passage in James chapter 3, talking about the fountain that can't yield both salt and fresh water. And she got it. And from that point forward, she only spoke God's word. And when people asked her, how's the baby doing? She's blessed. She's strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. She is a world overcomer. By the stripes of Jesus, she's whole. She is perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, and friends and even family started going, oh, come on, no, really, how's she doing? She's strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. She is whole and entire, wanting nothing. She is blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. She only spoke God's word. And from that point, that child drastically, quickly, miraculously recovered to wholeness, where today she is 4 years old, I think, and like totally and completely perfect in every way. Totally and completely perfect in every way. Amen. The King James Version tells us that Abraham considered not anything but the promise of God in Romans chapter 4. We looked at that a bit yesterday, right? Through some of the awesome word that was shared. That he wouldn't even let himself go to the place where God wouldn't keep his promise. He wouldn't even go there. But Abraham wasn't always fully persuaded, you know. He wasn't always. He attempted to fill God's promise through his own effort. Ishmael, we're still seeing that mess. Yeah. You know, but after that obvious failure, Abraham grew to be fully persuaded in the promise of God. He grew strong in faith, is what the word says. He grew strong in faith. We have the faith of God in us. We too can grow strong in faith by appropriating the corresponding or primary action of our faith, which is agreeing God's word by speaking God's word only. Agree with God's word by speaking God's word only. No matter what the present circumstances of your life are, there is a promise in God's word to save us. That story of my friend's baby, that was a life and death situation. And God showed her this truth, and she had a decision to make. Life and death. If we treated every, you know, thing that the enemy tried to throw against us as life and death, just think about that. It is, guys, and it could be. Everything he throws at you, every little issue or problem or whatever, right? If you treat it like it's life and death, and you speak God's word only, and you stand firm on that, value that. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. When we got saved, we confessed with our mouth, right? And we believed with our heart, and we were saved. Not of ourselves, the free gift of God. Taking hold of God's promises or seeing our faith produce results is just like receiving salvation. We heard that yesterday as well. Right? Salvation is sozo, life, it's everything. I think Tim spoke on that. It's healing, it's wholeness, it's every single blessing. It's the fullness of God. So just like we believed on Jesus, confessed with our mouth, believed in our heart, and we were saved, that's what we do with every other promise of God. We confess with our mouth and we believe with our God. We believe with our heart. We plant the seed and we water the seed. And 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, and God gives the increase, because God is not a taker. He's a giver. He's going to multiply that. You might be saying, wait a sec, James 3:8, right? Let's go back there. James 3:8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It says right there, I can't do it. Right? It's too hard. I can't do this. it's too hard to think so carefully about everything that comes out of my mouth. That's difficult to think about it. I can't. You're right, you can't. We talked about that at the beginning, right? We desperately need the Holy Spirit. Desperately need Jesus and His grace and His Spirit, because through Christ we can do all things. Nothing is impossible for God, and God lives in us. Do you see yourself when you go from this place, when you wake up every morning, do you see yourself as righteous as Jesus? When you go to the grocery store to buy milk, do you see yourself, hey, Jesus just entered this grocery store? Is that how you see yourself? That's how you need to see yourself. When you wake up every morning, ooh, watch out, Mr. Devil, Jesus is awake. Yeah? Come on, stir yourself up. God's word in your mouth is just as powerful as if God spoke it himself. We need to understand this. We're full of God. Amen? Isaiah 51:16, let's go there. Real quick. Isaiah 51:16 says, "And I have put my words in thy mouth." Woohoo! And Jeremiah 1:9 says, again, the last part of that verse, "I have put my words in thy mouth." And then Isaiah 55:11, jump over there, says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth." He's put his words in our mouth, right? So shall his word be that goes forth out of our mouth. "It shall not return void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." Hallelujah. Amen. Speak God's word and get God's results. I want God's results. I want the Bible results. That was said yesterday. I wrote that down. Speak the Bible's plan, use the Bible's pattern, and get the Bible's results. Yeah? That's good. Too easy. Right. Too easy. Thank you, Jesus. So ask yourself, what's the word from God for your life right now? What's the word from God for your life? Everything you need's right here. What problem, what trouble, what issue? What's the devil trying to steal from you right now? What's the promise that you need the result of right now? There's three things that you can practically do to get started, okay? Because we're not only hearers of the word, we're doers of the word, but we need to know how, and we need to teach each other how, right? Sometimes you hear things talked about, taught from the pulpit, or even just talking amongst one another, but we need to, like, practically, let's break this down. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I'm not so lightning quick, and I'm like, I need to know how. Like, how practically, exactly do I do this? So number one, find the word. Find what God's word says about your present circumstances. Find what God's word says about your present circumstances. Proverbs 4, 20 and 23 says, or 20 to 23 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I don't know about you guys, but I want life and health in all my flesh until the day Jesus calls me home. And it's going to be him and him alone that calls me home. Nothing else will steal from me. And Joshua 1:8, let's look at that. That's a good one. Yeah, Joshua 1, verse 8, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So the word of God should not depart out of your mouth. But you should meditate therein day and night, plant it in your heart and water it, think about it, say it, get excited about it, consider it, meditate day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. The word tells us how to be prosperous and have good success. If we just do what it says, then we'll get the Bible results. Amen? So number two. So number one was find the word. Find the word of God for your life. Do you need healing? There's a lot in here about healing. Do you need prosperity? Oh, there's a ton in here about prosperity. You know, are you having job issues or issues with family or offenses coming against you? Or, man, it's all in here, guys. All of it. You just have to go open this up and sit down, make some time and say, Jesus, show me. He will. He wants to show you more than you want to be shown. But you got to talk to him. A relationship's not much of a relationship if it's only one-sided. If all you do is moan and complain at the other person, right? Just sit and talk with him. Ask him to show you. He will. And it'll knock your socks off. I promise you. Number two, act on the word. Plant it in your heart and speak the word only. Again, that primary corresponding action of faith is speak only God's word. Faith without speaking only God's word is dead. When you speak it and you plant it in your heart, and when it's in your heart, you'll think about it and you'll speak it above considering every other circumstance. You'll twirl in the dress of life. Amen? Jesus will get you excited about that. Okay, guys, maybe you don't see yourself twirling in the dress of life. All right, but, you know, I don't know, wield the sword or something. Like, see yourself as a knight or something, something cool. Yeah. All right. So do you think for a second, guys, that the Holy Spirit does not want to jump all over this? If you say, okay, God, I humble myself under your mighty hand. And Lord, I thank you for showing me if I'm about to say something that I shouldn't according to your word. Like literally, just pray this. I ask you to show me and stop me from speaking against your word for my life. The Holy Spirit is going to jump all over that. When that's your heart's desire, like, he's your comforter, he's your helper, he's going to help you in that. You're going to feel a catch in your spirit. You're going to feel a, oh, you know, if you're about to say something that's against your own life, deceiving your own heart, remember? Because Jesus doesn't want that for you. He wants enough and extra for you. Right? He wants to give you that life abundant more than you want it. God will help you. He will give you that catch. If you decide, God, you know, stop me if I'm going to say something that I shouldn't. He will help you. But guys, ultimately, the decision's up to you. God gave us the power of choice. So he will. The comforter will come. He will help you. You will feel that catch, that in your spirit. But you've got to make the final decision. Are you going to agree with your flesh or your feelings? Or are you going to agree with the Spirit? The decision is yours. And this might mean that you risk embarrassment because others around you could be trying to get you to talk about the problem. And you know what? These other people could even be unsaved. Right? And they could just be oh, get real. Are you willing to risk embarrassment for Jesus? Are you more concerned about what others think about you than obeying God? Number three, declare the word. I am who you say I am. I love that song. Any of you, probably you guys all know that song, by Hillsong. I am who you say I am. Amen. Confess his word over your mouth. Guard your mouth. Do you know that the Bible is full of scriptures that talks about blessing what comes out of our mouths? I've actually got, they're in my bag. I've actually got some little printouts of scriptures. Actually, could you grab them for me? I forgot to grab those. Yeah. There we go. Guarding your mouth. Scriptures that talk about guarding your mouth. And these are from a friend of mine, but I photocopied them and just hand them out to you. They're from the Bible, but you know. So, for example, life and death are in the power of my tongue. I love life and I eat the fruit of life. I only speak words that bring life to me and my circumstances. I watch over my mouth and tongue. I speak only words that I would hear my Heavenly Father speak. That's from John 14:10. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable to you, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen? And it goes on. I actually photocopied a bunch for all of you to take one if you want. Okay? And reproduce them and hand them out. Amen? It's the Word of God, setting people free. So, declare the Word of God over your mouth, over your circumstances. Then you will see the results. Don't waver. Don't limit God with your own time frame. Don't put your time frame on it. Just keep planting his word in your heart and speaking it, and you'll see the result. He is able to perform that which he promised. Be fully persuaded in that and get excited about it. See yourself. See yourself there. See yourself well. See yourself whole. See yourself prospered in every area of your life. See yourself laying hands on the sick and them recovering. See yourself opening blind eyes, that power of God flowing through you, setting the captives free. Get your hopes up. It's powerful. Imagine that. Dream with Jesus, guys. Dream with him. Take the limits off. And take the pressure off yourself. Take the pressure off yourself. God is responsible for the results. God's responsible for the results. His grace has provided all we need and more. We are responsible for the action and the obedience, just speaking God's word only and believing it. It's as simple as that. It's not a list of things we got to do to earn righteousness and live holy and, you know, and then maybe God will. No, he has. It's finished. His grace is provided. He's responsible for the results. So dream big with him. Take one day at a time. Focus only on the word and what you do know. Don't stress. Stress is not from God. And you can hold that thought captive to God when it enters into your mind. Amen? When you know the word, and you know his promises over your life, when thoughts come into your mind that don't agree with what his word says for you, you can instantly recognize it. And you go, nope, I am not taking that and planting it in my heart. I hold that thought captive to Christ. Bye-bye. I'm not going to think on that. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. I want to finish again with 2 Peter verse 1, 2 to 4. I love this. Because I want grace and peace to be multiplied unto you. We all want more grace and peace, right? We do. So how do we get it? Through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this passage of Scripture says. It's all through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, through the word that holds every answer, that holds the key to every success in our lives. Get to know him. Read it. Enjoy it. Enjoy the adventure, the journey, the process of discovery. Enjoy just holding his hand and being his kid and keeping your eyes fixed on him, not the wind and the waves. This is the wind and the waves, this natural flesh realm. We're stuck in this flesh suit. We got to deal with it until the day we go to be with Jesus. But he's given us. This is like Jesus with eyeballs, okay? This right here. It's like Jesus with eyeballs. So if you think about that story of Peter stepping out of the boat, that's all we got to look at. We just got to keep our eyes fixed on this. Because the wind and the waves don't matter. If we start to sink, he picks us right up. No problem. Just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, guys. All things. That's exciting. Far beyond all you could ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us, says Ephesians 3 and 20. Like, far beyond all you could ask or imagine? Man, we can imagine some pretty big stuff, hey? But God is far beyond that. That's exciting. That's so exciting. Like, I'm like, Jesus, when I get to heaven, we're gonna ride rainbow ponies, and then we're gonna have a water fight in the river of life. Who's with me? You know, I think about that stuff, and I just like, be his kid and have fun with him, you know? It's fun. We're not childish, but we're supposed to have childlike faith. Just trust him. Just trust him with everything you are. You made him the Lord of your life after all, right? That's what getting saved is about. Declaring, confessing with your mouth and heart that Jesus is Lord. Not just confessing Jesus, but that he's Lord. So you've literally, like, given him the keys to your Lamborghini. It's all him. Like, you've made him the Lord of your life. So I want to challenge you guys today. Decide today. Mark this day. The Israelites, I remind the students of this all the time at the college. The Israelites, they always set up altars of remembrance. You know, they built little stone cairns and they made these altars of remembrance so that years and years and years down the road, when the children of Israel was like, hey, mom, hey, grandma, what's the deal with that pile of rocks there? Then grandma goes, oh, let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you what God did. Remembering the goodness and awesomeness of our God. So I challenge you today, mark this day, make it an altar of remembrance that you are only going to say what God says about you and your circumstances. You've heard a lot of teaching this weekend. If you don't know who you are, find who you are. It's all in here. Find who you are. In your day-to-day life, ask yourself, would Jesus say this? Listen to the things coming out of your mouth and say, would Jesus say this? Say only what you're going to say, or say only what God's word says about you and your circumstances. We'll see the results of our faith when we know and love God's word, which is knowing and loving him. And when we only say what he says. Amen? Amen. Amen.